someone get this free gift? It's real. It's really free. They go, enjoy. They go, thank you. So tonight we're continuing where we finished last week. You're all thinking there's a death. I'll come back to that. Tonight we're continuing where we left off last week. Dan talked last week about just how much God loves us. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. Dan reminded us that all the way through the Bible, this is ongoing story of God chasing after us, of stooping down to humanity to be heard and to be known, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Good news, yes? For the majority of us, fabulous. So in case you weren't here last week, if you remember nothing else, you are loved by God. Yay! Okay. Tonight I'd like to suggest that love is a five-letter word, and that word is grace. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about grace. It's a word we use a lot in church. It can mean different things. It can mean the words we may say before a meal. We've got Vanessa staying with us. And so I decided we don't tend to say grace before meals, but I thought we'd better show that we're properly holy. And so I've suddenly started trying to say grace. And, you know, children just are lovely, aren't they? So when Rebecca went, why are we all of a sudden saying grace when we don't usually? It's like, thanks. Awkward, but truthful. Okay, so grace, we may or may not say. Grace is a word that is described for people who don't fall over when they walk. Grace. And it's what we're talking about tonight. Is about God's grace, and it means something a bit like this. Oh, you can't see that at all. I will read it to you. The middle, number two, it says this. The divine favor towards man, towards humanity, the undeserved kindness or forgiveness of God, divine love or pardon. So it's God's unmerited favor. In everyday terminology, it's something that God gives us. It's something good that we do not deserve. It's a gift, an undeserved gift. It's free, God's richness to us, his favor, when we do not deserve it. One writer, William Barclay, says that the Greek word for grace was originally a military term. I didn't know this. When an emperor came to the throne or celebrated his birthday, he would give his troops a donation, a free gift of money. It was called a grace. And they didn't earn it. It wasn't part of their wages. They didn't deserve it. It was given out of the goodness of the emperor's heart. It's something that is free. It's not merited. It's not a wage. It's not earned. There are a zillion New Testament verses about grace. If we went through each of them, we would be here forever, and Mike would never get to Bible college. So I thought I'll just choose one passage, and we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. So if you've got a pew Bible, find Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. If you don't know where Ephesians is, there's a contents page at the front. If you've got a phone with your Bible, you'll know where it is. So Ephesians chapter 2, and this talks about what humans were like when we had to deal with sin by ourselves before God's help came along, and the results of what Jesus has done after. It's called Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are saved by grace through faith. There's one particular book on my bookshelf about grace. I suspect many of you have read it. It is this. Philip Yancey's What's So Amazing About Grace. I love this book. It's not a very recent book. I read it in 1999. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Some of you were only born in 19... No, maybe I don't know when you were... So, Vanessa, who's living with us, was only born in 1999. For those who haven't read it, can I really recommend this book about God's grace? Outside of the Bible, I think it's one of the books that's challenged me the most in my Christian life. I remember when I first read it, I read one chapter and I cried my way through it. Just sobbed, which might put you off the book, but it's a great book. Because all of us, those of us who have been Christians for donkey's years, and those of us who are just new in faith, need to be reminded of the God who lavishes grace upon grace to us, who loves us with a love that we don't deserve and a favour that is unmerited, but still does it anyway. That's the point of grace. I think there may be a copy in the church library. Cass nodding. Do read it. It's a great book. So tonight I'd like us just to be reminded about the enormity of the grace of God that he gives to us. I love it when people tell, I often talk to people about God. Usually it's Slimming World. Isn't it funny how often I talk more about God outside the church sometimes than you do inside the church? So I often have a little conversation because everybody knows what I do at Slimming World, and I class it as my other church, it's my other place of work. And often people are talking to me about God. And some years ago in my other Slimming World group in Coventry, I remember a conversation with someone, and we were talking about why they didn't go to church, because she told me, I do believe in God. I went, that's good, so, you know, why don't you go to church? Oh, I can't. And I said, well, why not? Because God doesn't believe in me. Thought, isn't that interesting? I believe in God, but God doesn't believe in me. And that's really sad. And sometimes the challenge is not not convincing people that God exists, although that is a challenge to us, but it's also convincing people that God is interested in them. That our everyday is important to God, that all of us are known and named and loved by God, and God wants that back from every single one of us. And that's not just for people outside of the church. That's also something I've heard from people inside the church. I've got a friend, Keith, who is a Christian in Northern Ireland. He has been an elder in his church. He has been a worship leader. He has been a Christian since he was a child. He knows God loves him. He hears it all the time. But he says, I don't think God's actually interested in me. I don't actually think God likes me. And I find that interesting. I think all of us need a fresh understanding about what grace is. It's way more powerful than God liking us, so don't misunderstand that. And so our passage in Ephesians. Paul's writing to this church. There isn't much controversy in the Ephesian church. They're solid Christians. Their hearts and their minds are in the right place. They're devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But they needed to be reminded about the importance of grace. And Paul writes a letter to strengthen their faith, to remind them, like every single one of us needs reminding, about grace. And he taught them that there's nothing they could do that would mean that God loves them less. Because that's the point of grace. Because grace means that God deals with his people not on the basis of what they deserve, but according to who he is. According to his goodness. According to his generosity. Grace is God dealing with us because he is grace. And he is love, not because we are. So there are 2 points. This is a 2-point sermon. This morning it was only a 1-point sermon. It's grown. I was telling Simon, it's grown to 2 points. 2 things I want you to go home remembering. It's not a lot. 2 little things. Point number one. God's grace means that you do not have to earn your salvation. You don't have to earn it. The New Living Translation of the verse we've just heard says this. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. You can't take the credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for things, for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpieces. Love that. God's masterpieces. We don't get what we deserve. We don't earn it. It's not ours by right. And that's really topsy-turvy, isn't it? To how we usually think. Normally, everything in our world is done on our performance. Straight away, as children, we're taught, if you work hard, you will get where you want to go. If you want good GCSE results, if you want good A-level results, then you have to put the graft in, you have to revise, you have to do your homework, you have to study, you have to do all the things that the teachers tell you to do, and then you will have a 9, or whatever that means. I think that's an A*, or something like that. Those high marks are not just given away because the exam board liked your handwriting, or because you've written in a purple pen. You have to work for it. And it's the same with adults in our jobs. Well, most jobs, not mine. In everybody else's jobs. If you want to progress, within a chosen field of work, there are steps to do. You've got to put the hard work in. You've got to put it in the hours. You've got to suck up to your boss. I've got to suck up to my boss. God's my boss. You've got to show how indispensable you are in order to get on. You've got to put in the hours. In that world, in our world, nothing is given away for free. Hard work pays off. But grace says God doesn't work like that. Grace takes on that worldly value and turns it upside down. It's countercultural. It's topsy-turvy. There's nothing we can do to make God say yes to us. We don't earn our salvation. It's countercultural. And so sometimes some of us need to stop trying. Not to please God. Yes, we need to please God, but we don't need to earn our way in. Sometimes we approach God thinking that we have to do that. That our good deeds will help us. Our coming to church, our giving to charity, our helping little old ladies across the road, whatever you class as a good deed. Grace is a gift. It's not a payment. So there's nothing we can boast about it, says Ephesians chapter 2. It's what God has done. But we live in a world where everything has a price tag. We expect everything to cost something. Most of us understand the expression that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Salvation comes to us as a gift from God. It's not a secret Santa. It's a free gift. In Romans 5, it says this: when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Even when we were not friends with God, God reaches out to us and offers forgiveness and mercy and love. And that's what grace is about. And although it's free to us, it's not free to God. There is a cost. And that cost is the cross of Jesus Christ. Someone once said this: at the cross, God gave the most precious thing he possessed for the most undeserving people he knew. So, number one to remember, God's grace means we don't have to earn our salvation. It's a free gift. Will you believe in what Jesus has done for you on the cross? It's your choice. Yes or no, or a healthy maybe. Number two, God's grace means that we don't have to worry that we're too bad a rat bag for God to forgive. Philip Yancey in that amazing book says this: grace means there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Phew! Well, that's good then, isn't it? I wonder if we actually live like that. That there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. A letter to the Ephesians is written by Paul. He's the author of some of the most dramatic and moving words in Scripture. And before he became a Christian, he was a rat bag. He was one of the most vicious persecutors of Christians. He was a murderer. He had blood on his hands. And yet God said, I want you. and came to him. The words he said to Timothy, Paul's words about that, and his experience of meeting Jesus. He said, here is a trustworthy saying that demands full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the very worst. That's what grace is. That God does not leave us where we are dead to our sin. He does not leave us in a place where we have to fend for ourselves. Jesus makes a way to deal with our sin. Paul was a vicious persecutor of Christians. He was a murderer. There's no league table where sin is concerned. Sin is sin. But we often don't think of it like that. We think, oh, murderer, that's the worst thing you could be. Well, if the pass mark is 50, 51 is as much of a fair mark as 99. There is no sin that Jesus does not forgive. He forgave Paul. He forgives us. That's grace. Extravagant grace, where there is no loophole in the promise that we, when we meet Jesus, we are forgiven. Nothing disqualifies us. Jesus told loads of stories about grace. He never actually used the word, I don't think. But he talked about it all the time. Like the story of the father, the prodigal son story. I love this story. So does George. Of a father who runs out to meet his son who has squandered the family fortune away. There is no lecture. There is no, I hope you've learnt your lesson now. But instead, there's a rejoicing. This is my son who was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost and is found. That is grace. That is the story of the Father heart of God for each one of us. That's an astonishing message that the world needs to hear. That grace changes everything. It's all we need. It's all our sufficiency. It's free, but it comes at a cost for God. And so it needs a response from us. Do we say yes to what Jesus has done on the cross for us? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian around the time of the Second World War, talked about cheap grace. He says we can talk about the love of God and what he does for us, but let's not talk about cheap grace. Because when we talk about God forgiving us, we also need to repent and say sorry. We also need to be discipled and have discipline. We also need to recognize who we are and how great a thing that we are saved from. We can't have grace without the cost of the cross and what Jesus has done for us. It's free for us, but was not free for Jesus. At the beginning of the service, I offered £2, and Rob took me up on the offer. I was expecting there to be an awkward Britishness of an awkward moment, like we had where you all looked at me and went, "This is a trick." I was expecting that. I was expecting someone to be embarrassed. I was expecting someone to say, what's the catch? What's the trick up the ministerial sleeve? It was a free gift. You don't have to give that back, Rob. You can spend that £2. Happy days. I could have given you this tenner. That would have been much more of an example of grace, because that would have been costly to me. I went round the house saying, has anyone got a fiver? Nobody had a fiver. But it's a good job God didn't do that. That's the point. That would have been much more generous. That would have been much more an illustration of grace. You lot are lovely. I love you all. But to be fair, none of you deserve this from me. Apart from Mike Rushton, who built me an office in the garden. He might deserve a tenner. That's the point, though, isn't it? That grace is God's riches. At Christ's expense. It's what God gives to us in Jesus Christ that we do not deserve. It's scandalous. It's actually outrageous. It's not the way we think. It's not how the world works, but it's how God works. If you don't know that grace that God offers to you, even though you and I and every single person here really is a rat bag, undeserving of such love, then perhaps tonight's the night to know more. That you are loved. That God chases you. That he wants you to say yes to him. That your sin has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. The price has been paid. If you need to know that God's grace is enough for you, tonight's the night to say thank you and yes to that free gift of grace and to let that transform you. Grace is not cheap. It doesn't come free. God paid the price. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cost of grace to you. That Jesus left all the wonder and the glory of heaven to go to the cross to deal with the sin that separates us from you. To deal with it, to deal with death, to set us free. We thank you for the free gift of grace and salvation that you offer to every single one of us, even us who are rat bags, who Romans says were far away. Your love is so amazing that you offer that to us, even when we do not deserve that, so that we can be yours again. Thank you for the gift of grace. Father, would you remind each one of us of the power of grace in our life, of the riches of your love for us. And for those of us who are on a treadmill of work trying to get you to love us, would you remind us that you love us. There's nothing we can do to make you love us more, and nothing we have done that makes you love us less. We thank you for grace and for your love and your forgiveness in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.